Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and Tommy. How are things, lads?
Not too bad, Tom. How are you? You look sun-kissed, Tommy.
Yeah, not as good as you by the looks of things, Tommy. You aren't suffering from this change of weather, are you, by the looks of things?
Yeah, well, I hopped away for a little mid-season break with Shifra. We're in Madeira for a week. The new flight from Shannon. Yeah, beautiful country. So I'll give you the update next week.
Doesn't this sound like an ad to me? Like, this is Ronaldo has paid you to do this. CR7 is paying. He listens to the pod, I believe.
Absolutely great city. Love it.
Yeah, it seems beautiful. I'll give you the proper review next week. But looking forward to get. We just landed late last night. Got to see one of the fruit markets earlier. I'll fill you in next week. But we will be still bringing you the Football Pod. Very, very busy time in the football
that
season.
That is when commitment to the cause, to be fair.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of missing a couple of big weekends here. Covered Loud and Monaghan on Saturday night. Every team is playing next weekend. I think when I booked it in January, I thought it would be an off week, which is a little bit naive. Mm. But anyways, we plow on. Boys, a big weekend of football. Some very, very interesting results. Last week, I brought you the stat that only one of the four sides from the provincial finals the previous weekend had won. Well, after the weekend that was, just one of the four provincial winners actually won their opening round game, and that was Kerry. So, very interesting start to the round robin series.
It was. But I suppose we even said it last week, the Tyrone Donegal, when Tyrone would have been waiting for Donegal, and like, it's a hard place to come sometimes when the other team is preparing for you, they're probably watching you. You know, they've all their homework done and you're coming off an emotional high to try and get back up on the horse again. So I wasn't shocked at that result. And then obviously the Loud and Monaghan game. Loud, the same absolute euphoria. The celebrations are still ongoing and they're only going to be getting only stronger as it goes on. But they were always going to be under pressure against a Monaghan side that are playing some great football. So, you know, I wasn't completely shocked about those results either, even though they were provincial winners. Still two very tough games for them.
Yeah. Paddy, what caught your eye over the weekend?
Look, we kind of said it. Like, it's so hard to call these games, you know, winning the provincial championships and then trying to back it up. Particularly for Loud, we felt that the euphoria they felt, this was always a danger for them. And to be fair, it was the hardest game they had as well. You know, Monaghan would have been, as Jimmy said, exact same as Tyrone up in Ballybuffet, waiting in the long grass. Maybe that little bit of an edge, and not saying Donegal or Loud took their eye off the ball, but just that, the emotion of winning those provincial championships, there was always going to be some sort of come down. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, Desi Farrell said it after Dublin got over Dublin, if any team is off by even 5% of this championship, the margins are so fine. We've spoken so many times, the rules are brilliant and all that stuff, but this championship is amazing because there's so many teams that are level with each other. It's so difficult to call. We'll see it again in this weekend's games. It's not like Donegal are all of a sudden, they're not a brilliant team. They were just caught by Tyrone. You know, they were missing Sean Patton. That obviously had an impact on the game, and Tyrone just nicking at the end. For Loud, it was tough. We knew there was going to be a come down after that Leinster final. To be fair, Monaghan were waiting for them and were full value for that win. They were the two probably big ones. The other two games weren't on telly, which was a bit of a pain in the arse for GAA followers around the country. Armagh got the job done, and at times that looked like the wheels had really come off for Derry. Now they pull it back a bit in the end, but Armagh continued to motor along. And the big one for you, T, this was one we were struggling to call last week, and we threw the gauntlet down. Could Cork back up that Kerry performance and put a performance in? No. Brilliant for Meath. That is a bounce back after the Leinster final. But for Cork, Jesus Christ, the Cork supporters must be putting their hair up. Just a bad, bad day at the office for them. So, loads to go off. But
I thought
the real thing, like, why were not four games on fucking telly? So could I see them?
What GA Plus really left the country down there now this weekend? You know, not having
no, huh? No. I'm not having that. We had two of them. And we've three games this weekend. Armagh Derry, you feel, definitely should have been on somewhere or something.
Armagh like reigning now. Champions, like, to not be on telly was a bit, it's kind of a bit like, what's going on there? But sure, look.
Yeah, for a hell of a game as well. I managed to find a way of watching back the entire Meath and Cork game. And I can fill you
talk on. To us, Toby. Talk to us.
Listening in. So I was flitting between LMFM and RT Radio 1 on the way to Newbridge at the weekend. I got into Newbridge, had the cans on. I was keeping an eye on Kildare's McDonagh Cup win and the hurling, a huge win for the county. But I was struggling with the Meath game because Meath had the wind in the first half. Mm. And you're listening into it.
Well.
And Cork started well. And Meath didn't kick a score. I don't think maybe 1 point in 20 minutes. First point from play was Matthew Costello's. And you're just listening going, what is going on? I was texting my sister and her boyfriend and they were texting me from the terraces and they were like, this is ropey, like, you know. And
was there a full house in Navan? Was there a big Mead crowd? That's what we were asking for last week.
There was a late surge. There was about 8,500 there. But if you saw, lads, the Sunday game highlights,
weather was bad.
Oh, my God. The floods on the terraces. Like, it was absolutely reckless. But Meade had a couple of moments of magic, right? Jordan Morris gets an unbelievable goal. And
let's talk about that goal first.
Yes, I have the screenshots.
Jordan Morris, legend, right? Going through on goal, right? Past his left, past his right, dummy to right, and puts in the corner himself. No fluting around, wasting a pass and almost risking the whole goal chance. A dummy and puts it in the corner. Brilliant Bang. Forward play. And I guarantee the coach is probably pulling his hair up because he wanted them to pass it to the side and walk it in. It was a great forward play. So confident. And he just said, I'm true on goal. I'm going to throw a dummy, stick in the net. 10 out of 10, I give him. Great goal.
Yeah. A little bit of quality that, in one sense, kind of summed up that game, that move itself. And I had screenshots and they're on my laptop. So I'm not going to share them here just in case the connection goes from Madeira. But It's one that a lot of club teams and a lot of county teams should be looking at here. And it's Cork's setup in this. So I was listening to the game or watching the game back, and the recording that's been taking place is from a camera on the terrace side. So you can hear a lot of shouts of, come on, Meade. And you can hear a lot of disgruntled fans early on in the game. So at this stage in the game, Meade have only kicked a couple of points. They're with the wind. Nothing has happened. And they're holding on to the ball and it's a slow attack, right? But I think what they did is they kind of baited the Cork forwards and they got an overload where Chris Oak-Jones thinks that he cannot track his man, right, on the halfway line. So when one of the Meath footballers gets the ball, Chris Oak-Jones puts his hands up to say, I can't chase him or it'll be a three-up breach. Cork had four back at the time. He could have chased them back. And it leads to Kieran Caulfield taking on his man, slipping it to Jordan Morris. Morris's man goes to Caulfield. Morris then is running through. You probably saw the clip, James, from the highlights, but Morris is a 40-yard run. You call the two little dummies he makes and he buries it to the back of the net. But what we saw there was probably a lack of communication in the Cork attack to say, you got to track, or the awareness to know that, to trust your teammates, that we're going to have three back if I'm actually chasing this man down. And Chris Oak-Jones, who had a good game and he kicked a couple of nice points, but like that's something that if that happens at club football later this summer, you're killing your teammate over that.
Mm. I suppose there's going to be a lot of forwards going for that. His man takes off. Oh, I can't go anywhere, lads. You'll have to chase him yourselves. Yeah, it's a tricky one because even from my experience of playing the rules, your communication has to be through the roof. Like someone has to be shouting at him there, we're fine, go, you know, track. Because you don't know what's around you in that situation as if you're Chris Oak-Jones. So it is tricky. It's a tough one. But like, if he was caught for it, then it would have been 2 points, which is also a huge penalty.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it ends up
in the back of the net, which is even more. I know, and I always say it's worth more than 3 points. But that's a funny one. Yeah, I didn't actually see that.
It's an interesting one, and I'll fire you on the screenshots as well because it's Kieran Caulfield who collects the ball, and he's 60 yards from goal. He is not a threat, but because he can run unopposed, and this fella can cut holes through defenses, he goes direct. And then Morris's man goes to him. He slips it to Morris, and Morris is through.
I think, as a general
one moment.
If I was a manager, even a player or a coach, I think I'd have the rule or the mantra, you track him and you let the boys cover you. You know, someone has to break a gut to get up the field. You know, there is a slight, they'll give you a leeway of a second or two, but like to stop the run, probably not, it's not the right thing to do realistically.
It's a wing forward on the far side who needs to be aware that, okay, I need to get back here if he ends up tracking him. So it's just an interesting one. I want to keep an eye on.
It's definitely stuff teams will have talked about that. There's no way that this has happened and they're like, Jesus, we didn't expect to be in that scenario. I am sure at that senior intercounty level, they have spoken about this type of scenario as well. So, but look, in the heat of the battle,
I've seen so many
bodies are wrecked.
It's sloppy. Like, it's just sloppy.
He detracted him against Kerry.
Yeah, he did.
This is the team. He did an unbelievable block. Cork are phenomenal. Cork are all our favourites anytime they play Kerry. You're waiting to see them this Saturday now when they take on the game again. Jesus Christ.
Are you covering that one?
Other games.
Are you
I'm back on duty. A bit of family time this weekend. But it's weird. We're doing a Cork-Kerry Saturday night. So hopefully it's something similar to the Munster semi-final. And then we've a very interesting. We're broadcasting from Healy Park in Oman.
Wow.
Nice. Toronto Mayo, and do Mayo have a sting in the tail for anyone, or is their race completely run?
My God.
Toronto coming off the big back of that victory. Toronto pole position in that group now. It's become a very interesting game over the last couple of weeks of what I've seen. So, but Cork Kerry, we're there for part two, and hopefully Cork can pull something out of the bag because that was diabolical.
Before we get thrown out, just a couple of other little points on that game. Meade learned a couple of lessons, I think, from the second half of the Loud game where they totally collapsed around the breaking ball. Like, this was not an easy day to win primary possession. And they absolutely ate Cork alive in the middle third. That was just huge. So I just thought the likes of Kieran Caulfield, Cormac Costello, or Matthew Costello, and Sean Coffey were just superb in that game.
Caulfield is a great bit of stuff. Every time I see him, he is so solid. Yeah. And looks like a good personality, good kind of leadership skills, I'd say. A good aggressive player. I'm a big fan of him at the moment.
Again, the same as the Kerry game, Cork's kickouts were all very, very similar. Micheál A. Martin lumping it to one side. They were trying to get an overload there, but it just didn't work. And they didn't seem to have other options. Meade varied a lot. So we'll see on Saturday, do they raise the levels as Paddy suggested they might do against Kerry? But the one thing that it does for Meade is it gives them an unbelievable opportunity now to play knockout football. Mm. I got a bit of a doing at the weekend there when I was tweeting about the Loud and Monaghan game. I said that this is eerily similar to Loud's first half performance, or Loud's performance in general, in the Leinster final against Meade. And a disgruntled Loud fan said I was the most sickening pundit in the country to listen to because I always managed to mention Meade. I am going to keep doing that every single pod.
The most sickening pundit in the country. I've noticed. Is that a bit over the top? Maybe.
I thought it was a little, so I kind of just said, did you not hear we won today? But
I see Padraig O'Hara was getting a bit of a touch on Twitter as well from GA Plus. He mentioned Mayo like 500 times. He was actually very good.
Yeah, I presume he'll be on with us this weekend as well. He's flying it, considering he hadn't done it before. So he was on his first time as Mayo Sligo with us last month. He's very good.
It's good to see lads relax and settle and start to let their personalities out as well. Because it can be difficult the first couple of times. I remember your first free podcast, lads. It took a while to get you going, but you got there.
We used to do 3-hour pods because I'd be talking even more shit than I do now. So
There it is.
Glory days.
So brief, before we get to maybe the two heavyweight games in Ulster, the Loud Monaghan game was just... I think there's an incredibly smart team there in Monaghan with a lot of smart footballers. And I think what I mentioned earlier,
Loud's performance. Team.
Yeah.
Big experience in that team.
Loud's performance was very similar. Even the scores, they only got 4-8. And they got a late goal and a late point there. Very low scoring again. The break in the first half, they were terrible. They were better on kickers in the second half. But Monaghan were just a far smarter team with more weapons. And they completely held them in arm's length throughout it. This game got hot and heavy, lads. There was a moment on the sideline where the management spoke clashed. I think Jared Brennan was unhappy with something. So Jared Brennan... So the fans in Newbridge, Paddy, and you've been back to the new stadium here in Newbridge, right? This is a cracking stadium to have a game.
Yeah,
you only get 7,000 or 8,000 in. Yeah,
it's very,
the fans are talking top of it. I watched the game. I ended up in the press box, and often what happens in media boxes nowadays is the analysts from either county, they're such large teams that they end up getting shoehorned in with the media, and everyone's kind of wrestling for a bit of elbow room at the tables. So I had the pleasure of watching the game with the Loud analysts, which is really interesting. And a couple of little chats throughout it, I like, really enjoyed it. But were they unhappy with a couple of decisions in that second half? I think the glass perspex in Newbridge learned a lesson, and we learned that it's very powerful. It's able to hold a couple of thumps. And the Loud fans lost it too. And I think Gary Bannigan was unhappy with the decision, and Loud were unhappy with the decision at the same time. I actually thought Brendan Colley did a really good job. The two managements seemed to come together. I think Ger Brennan came over to let Gabriel know he wasn't happy with something he said. And when I questioned them both afterwards, and you can see some of the photos, they were best buddies. Ger Brennan said that all they were doing was trying to sort out where to go for a pint afterwards. We all know Coffees is the only place to go in Newbridge after the game, so wasn't getting anything from that.
But another ad team. Were you in Coffees after Jesus. This match?
I wasn't. Like a
walking fucking advertising.
I wasn't.
You have to say hashtag ad after you make all those plugs.
I better do that. Yeah.
You said it though, Tommy. Loud. Was Loud's performance dissimilar from, you know, the first three quarters of that Leinster final? We know they've got quality, like Mulroy's goal in the first half. Beautiful pass, beautiful finish.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
We know they have that sprinkling of quality, but look, if we're all being honest, and we spoke with this last week, it was going to be a big ask for Loud in this game to get back up. The emotion, the elation they felt after that Leinster final, and rightly so. This was the worst game they could have gotten the group first up, and that's the way it panned out. Monaghan, like you said, Tom, just crafty, experience, bit of quality, they've been around the block. They put themselves, the way this group is, in a really strong position now to top that. Loud, they go to Newry next week, like, down a bit of a crest of a wave after that win over Ennis last week. But I think Loud will be better. That's the bit of a kick in the arse. But for Monaghan, fully deserved victory, and puts them in a really strong position for the rest of this championship. You'd have to fancy them to top that group into the quarters. They're in a strong position. The way the draw went, and they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah. If you look at Monaghan's, like, their attack is so impressive. Like, every single game they're playing, they're racking up high scores, and that's after taking McManus out of the panel. So fellas are really stepping up. Obviously, there would have been a reliance on him. There's fellas obviously putting their hand up and saying, I'm going to carry a bit of the burden here. Obviously, you've Bannigan handling these fellas, and then you've Begging coming up, chipping the two-pointers. They have a lot of weapons.
They made a couple of changes, James, before the game. They brought back Killian Lavelle, their fullback, and they brought back Ryan McInnespy, and they used Jack McCarron in this kind of super sub role where he comes on and he's kicking frees and he's kicking points from play and he's pulling the strings with 20 minutes to go in games. But interestingly, and I didn't cop it until halfway through the first half, they started Conor McCarthy at 11, and that half forward line of Stephen O'Hanlon, Conor McCarthy and Micheál Bannigan are three incredibly intelligent, explosive footballers who dovetail really, really well together. First attack of the game, Monaghan keep the ball for a few minutes. McCarthy slips in O'Hanlon, goal. Bannigan nails a couple of points. McCarthy's kicks a point himself. Bannigan kicks six, so O'Hanlon ended up at 1-3. Yeah. And young Stephen Mooney, who you hear these little whispers of fellas that are going well and stuff. There's a footballer there in Stephen Mooney, and he kicked three quite interesting points at the weekend. And it's a very interesting side there. I caught up with Desi Ward afterwards, lads. I'm not sure if you've seen much of Desi Ward this year.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
He even kicked three from centre back.
Same against Donegal.
In the Ulster semi final. He was very good. Do you know what? Like, you said it there, Jimmy. And this can happen in the team. The McManus kind of, I don't know, burden is definitely not the right word. McManus has been the main man for all of those players' careers. And even subconsciously, players might take a step back and go, just get it to him because he's such an iconic player and he delivered so much for Manning. And when that person steps out, there's maybe without even Gabriel Brannigan having to say to these players, you guys need to step up and carry that load and carry that burden. And from day one with Manning, we see the top scorers across all the divisions. I expect them to struggle. We said it so many times in the pod. They steamrolled Division 2, lads.
Yeah.
Steamrolled Division 2, whopped the Rossies in the final, pushed Donegal all the way. We're talking about All-Ireland contenders, and maybe we're being a bit guilty of maybe sleeping on Monaghan a little bit. But Saturday was the latest example of that team just being really efficient. Again, high scoring rate. Really shutting down Loud. Okay, Loud not at their best, but they're putting together a serious body of work over the first 4 or 5 months of the season. And like I said, the way the draw opens up for them, and this is a season, and we've seen it again at the weekend, that there is no exceptional team. It's so even across the board. And Monaghan have to be delighted with where they're coming from, what they've done so far to date, and the position they find themselves in now. And those players who maybe, okay, McManus is gone, but we can still rack up big scores. And the thing we like about them, we said it about Armagh a couple of weeks ago, and we've seen it again from Armagh against Derry at the weekend, spread of scores. They are not hanging their hat on two guys having to have games of their lives every single week. They have 6, 7 guys who can chip in with those 3, 4 points. And they all add up, lads. So, yeah. Classic performance from Monaghan, but Loud have to bounce back big style.
That was actually a great move, I think, by Gabriel Bannigan Paddy to put Conor McCarthy out of wing back, because
back up.
If you were picking the best couple of wing backs in the country over the last 2 years, you'd have Conor McCarthy in there. But I think sometimes they can be stopped from that position. It's like a team might have a plan for them. So to take him out of there, I'm sure Loud and Joe Brennan would have been thinking, how do we stop Conor McCarthy from number 7 or left half back? And now suddenly he's catapulted into 11 when you haven't thought about that threat at all. I think that was clever by him, because it was obviously something that we hadn't thought was going to happen. And Conor McCarthy's played a lot of his football in the half forward line and the full forward line. So he's obviously an incredibly talented player in multiple positions, but that little change attack was interesting. It was a clever move.
Yeah, 100%.
So, do you know what, Jimmy? He's such a smart player. We said this in the games. He's the type of player, he can just roam and drift around the pitch, and it's harder to pick him up, whether he's at 7, whether he's at 11, whether he's 15 13, coming out. Yeah. He just finds himself in pockets, and he has the skill and the athleticism to take advantage of it. He's the type of player we're seeing across the country this season that is making hay with this. And he's another unbelievable weapon for that Monaghan team to have.
Yeah,
like they play Clare next to you, isn't it? Clare and Clonus.
Clare and Monaghan will top this group, Hendon.
It looks like it now, yeah.
The only thing is, they've only played one Division 1 team all year in Donegal, and obviously been beaten. Played well, but were beaten. Like, it'll be interesting to see how they step up. If they do win this group into a quarter-final against a very strong side again, that'll be a real jump up in quality for them. Because they were so strong in Division 2. And steamrolled, as Paddy said, the whole lot of them. I'm not sure how strong. I think the best eight teams were in Division 1 this year. You know, there wasn't a randomer in there to beat. So it'll be interesting to see how they can jump up in quality again in the quarters if they do top the group.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say, though, if they get the job done, if they continue to motor the way they are, imagine the confidence, imagine the freshness going up against a side that's going to have to play 3 weekends in a row. So it does put them in an unbelievable position. Ryan O'Toole as well, by the way. Unbelievable.
Oh, what a block. What a block. It was, if he didn't block it with his hands, he was going to block it with his forehead. It was so good. Just brave. And it's like, sometimes the more reckless you are and the braver you are in the situation, the safer you are. Do you know, he just went straight for the boot, as low down as he could get. A phenomenal huge block. Moment. And the celebration after was quality as well. That's when you know, I think that's when you know when a team is at a championship wise. When they're celebrating turnovers, celebrating blockdowns, just as much as celebrating scores, then you know a team is tuned in. I thought it was a great bit of defending.
Absolutely. Chiellini and Benucci for the Italians. They won the Euros. And they just get a normal header and they'd be like fucking chest pumping each other and all. Like, it's.
Yeah.
You're right, though, Jimmy. It does. I know it's raw and it's old school, but you see teams milling lads like that and it's like, oh, man, fucking hell.
Oh, I love it.
He has two.
You're a corner forward, like.
Yeah, exactly. He has two unbelievable strip tackles.
Plenty blocks in my repertoire.
Have you?
Tommy, talk to the editors here. I want to see some of these.
Yeah, let's try and dig this out. But he had two unbelievable strip tackles.
I got a full length diving block of my time back in Croker.
Did you?
Yep. And Stephen O'Neill.
Wow. A hope. He fucking done me so much.
Was it a Superman? Was it a Superman?
It was. No, was it Stephen O'Neill?
Stephen O'Neill has never been blocked, though.
Are you sure Stephen O'Neill didn't sell you a dummy in the corner?
Sorry. It might be Sean Kavanagh, and the block rebounds to Stephen O'Neill, and he kicks it off the bar.
Okay.
Did you read? Where's the lighters? You read the Kavanagh shuffle.
I'm almost sure it was Sean Kavanagh. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, that
and
shuffle.
Stephen O'Neill just picks it up and chips it over and just gives you a pat on the head and goes, "Good man." He didn't, but he should have. Yeah. He really should have.
Yeah. That's unreal. But no, O'Toole added two unbelievable strip tackles on sideline as well, which I think actually sparked the double black card. So I think Killian Lavelle, I meant to clarify it afterwards, the only thing I could see for it was diving. I think he got a black card for diving when there was a clash with a loud player. I think they gave him a bit of a push and he jumped down and the referee black carded him for it. So
see, lads, the hurlers have their fucking knickers in a twist over this diving and then refs being too lenient and then refs should have had 10 seconds off yesterday. The hurling championship's got the shit, lads, isn't it?
Hey, they need a HRC.
The game is crumbling.
There's only six teams in that championship anyway.
Less, even.
It's football where it's at. Do you see the tackle though where you catches your man across the neck? It's got to be one of the worst tackles of all time.
Oh, horrendous.
I don't know. Bring in VAR. Hurling needs VAR, I think.
If VAR showed that in slow motion, he'd be fucking taken away in cuffs. Do you know the way to do it in soccer?
8 years in Mountjoy.
I was about to mention a couple of minutes ago, so we're going to get to the other two big games, the big games after a break, but on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, John Fogarty broke the story in the Irish Examiner that unfortunately Mayo manager Kevin McStay's health continues to be monitored after he suffered a medical episode at a training session on Saturday. So we're wishing Kevin all the very best. The news just came in that Kevin has decided to step back from his role as Mayo manager for the immediate future. So there isn't a huge amount of detail about that, but he was hospitalised overnight as a precaution following an incident in Hastings Insurance McHale Park. And as of Sunday morning was awaiting results. So obviously because of those results, after taking ill at the session, he is now taking a step back for the rest of the summer or for the immediate future as Mayo manager. So Jesus, like, all our thoughts with him and hopefully everything is all right. Obviously, your health is just so important. And there's been a couple of incidents in recent years with managers maybe taking a step back because of health issues at different times. So hopefully all is okay there with Kevin and Mayo.
Yeah, Jesus. I hope he recovers, family, yeah. Kevin.
My God, yeah. I hope he's all right.
That's awful. So, you know, does put things into perspective as well. So we're going to take a quick break on the football pod. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We'll be back right after this. We'll look ahead to the weekend that's coming where there's plenty of teams in action. Everybody's in action, really. And we'll also talk about the two big games in Ulster as well. Back in a moment.
OTB GAA.
Lads, cracking games at the weekend. Some really good games. The Meath and Cork game was probably the one of the least quality. Louds' performance, probably as expected, the emotional high and the come down, they just didn't get to the levels that they would have wanted to get to. But I'll tell you one thing, Donegal and Tyrone did not disappoint.
Yeah, it was highly entertaining. I mean, Tyrone were so up for it. You could just tell. And again, I spoke about Ryan O'Toole before the break, but even when you saw the Tyrone players celebrate after the game, they weren't happy. Like, they were almost an angry celebrating. Like, they got themselves to that pitch that I think we questioned, could this Tyrone team get back to that level of kind of anger and dirtiness? And just there's something in Tyrone that they have this extra percent when they need it. And even, I think, first play for Donegal in attack, Murphy kicks a wide. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah,
and the camera stays on him. And he gets dunted.
About eight times.
He gets dunted by about three or four of the Tyrone fellas coming out. And I was like, these fellas are at it. If that was last year, they'd have been nearly giving him a pat in the arse and saying hard luck.
Yeah.
But no, they are at it now. That was the one feature of the Tyrone team that I thought was brilliant. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, the way they're playing is suiting McCurry down to the ground. He's so clever. They're running the ball. He's staying on the sideline. He's picking his runs in. when he's getting it, he's actually improved a side of his game where he's taking men on and being kind of, not braver, but maybe risking more. He's not taking the shots from outside. He's actually going at men. He's being fouled. He's getting through. I thought he showed great leadership and just great positivity every time he got the ball. The way they're playing is suiting McCurry down to the ground. In the other corner, right, Canavan didn't have his best day out. But I just wonder, is the way that they're playing suiting him as much, right? And this is why I think, if you think about Peter Canavan even, and Dara Canavan, they love receiving a kick pass. And if you go through, some of their greatest scores are when the kick pass is almost up for grabs and they fucking grab it. They're the one who gets it. They have this ability to win the ball even when it's a 60-40 or a 50-50, and they'll definitely win a 70-30. But the way that Tyrone are playing, I don't think they're giving any of those balls at the moment. So Canavan was kind of on the periphery, and then he kind of had to change his game and make little darts for hand passes and things, and he wasn't getting away from Brendan McCall, and he was just under pressure. And the longer the game went on, the more Tyrone relied on McCurry. So it'll be interesting to see, can they kind of add, I don't know, was it the weather maybe as well that they decided they weren't going to kick it, but that little bit of variety in their play to really get the best out of Canavan might be something they look at after this game. But apart from that, I mean, they were outstanding. They were absolutely outstanding. Couldn't speak highly enough of them.
We said it last week with the Offaly Minors and that brilliant interview after a match from the manager when they beat Louth in the minor final.
The Offaly-ness.
Offaly-ness. Like, nail on the head, Jimmy. That was Tyrone-ness.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it mightn't be as fluffy and as nice to watch, and people outside of Tyrone definitely don't love it. But if you're in Tyrone and in that camp, it's Tyrone-ness. And that is when, said it, they're at their best. That gives them the best chance. And I agree. I think McCurry's in fantastic form. We spoke about it towards the end of the National League. He's not a guy who loves 50-yard kick passes inside to him. And that's fine. That's his strength. There's no problem. We were chatting with Gavin Devlin last week. There's no problem just giving him the ball. So when someone gives him the ball, look at what he can do with it.
Yeah.
And I would in no way whatsoever be worried about Darragh Canavan's form. I get it. He's not, hasn't probably hit the peak since after the club season he had with Errigal. That guy is one of the best forwards, absolute top class in the country. I would not be worried about his form, and I wouldn't say he is. I hope he's not, and I wouldn't say Malik O'Rourke is either. He'll come. I agree. The bit of variety, you can play, you can be a bit looser with kick passes you put in to Darragh Canavan, because he, like a carbon copy of his dad, he can win it and what he can do with it. McCurry, just keep him doing his thing, and that bit of variety from Tyrone, I think they have that. They're a smart team. It puts them in that group in a really strong position. We said, if you win your first game, and particularly for Tyrone, that's the hardest game on paper away from home. They have Mayo coming to town. Obviously, we don't know how Mayo are going to approach this game now after the
minutes. But I'll give you actually, because I'm after seeing Midwest Radio give us a statement here. So we had obviously mentioned that because of taking ill last weekend, Kevin McStay has stepped back from his role as Mayo manager. So there's a statement from Kevin McStay. The Mayo GA board and I are in strong agreement that current assistant manager and head coach Stephen Rochford will lead our preparations for the upcoming games. We are blessed to have a man of Stephen's calibre, and as a valued member of the management team for the past three seasons, he ensures continuity. While I will not be on the training field or on the sideline on match day, I will be with management of players in spirit every step of the way. So that's from Kevin McStay.
On his health, any update on how he is?
No, but it's great to hear that he's given us the
chat. So look, maybe Mayo, that's like, if you need motivation or trying to bigger cause than anything than that, like Jesus, you'd expect Mayo come out of the blocks in Healy Park. But for Tyrone and where they're at as a team, you know, they went there in the All-Ireland Series last year to Ballymafay, and they got a beat down. And it was just flat, and I can't think of one positive Tyrone could take from that defeat last year in Ballymafay, and Donegal just rode over them. Where Saturday night, like you said it, Jimmy, they're waiting in the long grass there, and they have that edge. The challenge for Tyrone, can the consistency, can they do that again? They're showing serious green shoots over the last while. Can they back that up? And I'm more sort of talking about Monaghan getting a bit of momentum coming into it, a little bit under the radar. Tyrone's win sets them up perfectly. Mayo coming to town, and then they've Cavan in a neutral ground. That was a massive win for them, but that edge, that steel, that shittiness, that fucking Tyrone-ness, it's such a plus for them when they have it.
Yeah. When, and, you know, I think they actually called us out on the Saturday game as well, but when, obviously, Donegal were missing Patton, right?
Yeah.
Huge loss. Like,
big,
Patton,
big loss.
Patton is a phenomenal player. And you know what? Sometimes it's no harm to see him missing to realise how bloody good he is. But there was times then where Donegal went long to Murphy and Peter Teague had come on at the stage. And
made a big difference.
He made a massive difference. He challenged Murphy, yeah. Beat him out to two. And in Ballybuffet, that ball goes over Murphy's head. He plucks it. The crowd react. The players react. Everyone reacts. Teague came out with him and was on the front foot. And it was just like an extra, whoa. Do you know, that's a bit different. And I thought he was excellent after coming on. He played a great game. But that was just something that done it would have been a platform for Donegal didn't have.
I was going to put that to you as well. I thought just Tyrone's options, and we're starting to see a little bit of it now. Cormac Quinn has a hell of a game from Cormac back. We would have seen him with Eric.
Who score?
Comes up, kicks a massive score. Like, they're keeping the ball really well at that time.
There was a couple of forwards with the hands out going, slip it. He said,
McCurry, give me the ball.
But like,
back door.
The one thing he couldn't do there was slip or get turned over or get done for carrying. That was the one thing he couldn't do there, or drop it short. You know, if you're going at that speed, you got to back yourself. Do you know what I mean? And I thought that was great. I thought Quinn was really impressive. We know how good McKernan is. McGeary had another big game. We're starting to come back into form. Shawnee O'Donnell with two goals, right? Shawnee O'Donnell with
shot
two goals.
Dropping short. His
first goal, Patton, is he coming out and just cleaning everyone out there? Just the kickouts is the biggest loss with Patton.
Massively so.
That was such just the importance of a savage goalkeeper in the under these rules in these games. You could see it there on Saturday.
But huge.
They had, as you mentioned, Teague, Ben McDonald coming off the bench, Frank Burns coming off the bench with 10 minutes to go, being a really experienced head around the place. Young McElholm comes on. He should have scored a point. He fisted an effort wide. I don't know how he probably is wondering now.
And he was thinking about it for the rest of the game. You could tell it was in his head. Look,
he's got an All-Ireland final on Wednesday where he can just prove it all, fix it all wrong with that one. But he's playing with Tyrone under-20s this Wednesday in the Lada Hotel Group All-Ireland under-20 final against Louth, as we mentioned. So that's going to be a really big occasion on Wednesday afternoon.
But where's that game?
And then Petey Hart. Yeah, so that's going to be a great game. Didn't even see Rory Canavan. We didn't see young Shea O'Hare, who's had an unbelievable breakout year last year as well. So Tyrone's options, they're bubbling away there and they're finding a little bit of form. That was a big statement of the weekend. And Donegal, you mentioned Patton being out. That was a massive loss. But again, I don't know, they were just so reliant on Murphy and the unbelievable Michael Langan for scores at the weekend. This
Langan, it was my player to watch for the year. Clip that and put it back up. Field day on these rules. No, Tommy, you don't listen to a word I say, man.
It's the 26th of May.
Giving
you
nuggets.
The 26th of May. This is my player to watch. Like,
he's been injured. He was injured for most of the year.
Do you know what's my player to watch? Michael Murphy's my player to watch.
I know, yeah. Do you remember the year he went for Darren Canavan?
You're too.
Clifford Murphy. No, Jack McCaffrey picks me.
No, Langan.
He was new.
Langan was excellent. Yeah. I would question a little bit of the defending for some of his points. I think he sidestepped Frank Burns at one stage. And he sidestepped, I forget who it was, the second time, almost the exact same one. And do you know what it is? It's because his kicking is so good that he lines up the kick and you have to get tight to him because you have to put pressure on him. But he's so able to pull it back and just step around you and then get a better shot at it. But without him, they were in trouble because Gallen didn't score, Conor O'Donnell didn't score, Shane O'Donnell didn't score, Darrell Boyle didn't score.
Yeah.
Murphy got 8, but I think he got 3. Did he get 3 frees? Two point freeze? Did he get them all from?
Yeah. All from
Kieran Thompson got 2, only 1 from play. So, like, they didn't. You know, I know Mabirti came on and got a great two-pointer, but they weren't at it up front.
Yeah.
And they Paddy, were carrying an awful lot of ball as well. I think that's the carrying the ball.
But James, let me put it to you.
It takes it out of you.
It does.
Attritional.
I had a little look at Donegal's final quarter. Are they dying of death in the last 15 minutes of games? It's too early. Too early. But Down win the final quarter by 5-3. Obviously, Donegal win that game by 6. Monaghan win the final quarter by 5-4. Donegal win by 2, but they missed plenty of chances. They were well on top. Armagh outscored them 6-1 to bring it to extra time in the Ulster final. And Tyrone outscored them 6-4, kicking the last 5 points of the game to win that one. Is there a chance that... maybe it's a little too early to say that. Donegal and a Jim McGuinness side are overcooked a little too early.
I think Eamon McGee made a good point after... Or Neil McGee made a great point after the game. He said that they'd gone 2 up with McBurty's, and then they were on the attack again and McBurty was involved on the 45. I'm not sure who
gave
it to
him.
I don't even know. Was it a pass or was it just a... But Sean O'Donnell comes away with it and Donegal barely see the ball again. That's it. Like, Tyrone managed the game so well from there and manufactured that great Peter Hart score. But like... If they got a shot off in that situation, a shot off is actually a double win because you get your point or your 2 point or maybe even a white, but you're also looking at the opposition kickout, which the stats show us you nearly have as much chance of winning the opposition kickout as you do.
Right. Absolutely.
Midfield. Darragh Cannon was like Darragh O'Shea for that last kick out. For his head. On the final quarters, it's maybe a little bit soon for that, but put it this way, Donegal aren't roaring their way home in games. You know, I suppose they've been in the lead most of, so they've kind of been able to play a bit more conservative sort of thing. But there's no getting away from the fact it is a really attritional way they play in terms of that build up, probing, and the other thing, and we said it last week, to watch out for coming through the preliminary side of Ulster and the schedule, just the way Donegal have had to play week on week on week. You know, it's inevitable you're going to see a little bit of a drop off, but that, let's see how the next couple of weeks go. Look, Donegal, he's going to win that game as well, lads. And if Patton is playing,
for sure,
they probably do it and they carry on as normal. But it's just another little thing. There's no team really. There's no perfect team. And maybe that's just always the way. But you're just going, maybe that's a little bit of something that Jim McGuinness and those Donegal players are going to look at. But that style of play, the way they play the game, plus the schedule they've had, it doesn't get any easier. They're definitely maybe... They're not finishing games as strong. You can see that. So
I'll tell you one thing.
It's something to keep an eye on for them.
I'll tell you one thing. As the person who is blessed and cursed to do the Gaelic Football Power Rankings on Off the Ball Breakfast every couple of weeks, I am delighted that I didn't have to do one this week. So I might have to do one next week. Who's going to break into the top three
alongside Meath and Lode, Tom?
I'll do it on the flight home, James.
The Rossies. He did tip Ross Campbell for the All-Ireland back in like March.
Let's get to the All-Ireland champions.
Get that clip.
Let's get to the All-Ireland champions, Armagh. They were 220 to 13 points up with about 12 minutes to go at the weekend. They made a clatter of substitutions. Rian O'Neill has returned. What a boost that could be. He would have been an unbelievable loss for him this year, but he's back in action, kicked the point at the weekend. A very, very efficient performance for the guts of an hour. And then Cuthoban, Derry, nearly pulled off the shock of all shocks. Or is that too much of an exaggeration, James? Could they have actually pulled it off? I know Rafferty made a couple of great saves.
They could have pulled it off, but you can look at that comeback in two ways. It's either unbelievable character and bravery and show of passion for the team, or else it's just really easy to play when you're 10 points down. And I'm not sure which one it was. Like, I am such a fan of a load of those Derry players, like Glass, McGuigan, Rogers. They're three of my favourite players in the country, but they're just not, the team is just not there at the moment. They don't have their style of play down to a T, and at this level against Division 1 teams, you are going to get cut out. So as much as they came back and obviously had those chances and made Rafferty work so hard and make some great saves. But the game was done. Like, when it's in the melting pot, I think is when you need to, when you need to be at it and competitive, not when the game is over and the team has taken their foot off the gas. That would be my opinion on that, because they always say it in the soccer scene, it's easy to play when you're 2-0 down, the pressure is off and you can just go for it. But it's when it's, when it's on the line is when you need to be there, and they were not at the pitch of it. And Armagh are a side to be seriously reckoned with. They have a bit of everything at the moment. So Derry were just the second best.
The only thing with this one, lads, it's like, we didn't see the full game live. I was following it on Irish Times updates. And when you called out that score and it's like 12 or 13 points and you're like, Jesus Christ, the wheels have totally come off for Derry. Then they get it back and then you see highlights and the goal chances they created as well. It wasn't, I agree, Jim, what you were saying, like, when the game is kind of gone, they were mad. Subconsciously just take a step back because the game is won. So it's still hard to totally write off Derry. You know, it's a tough game to go and win in the Athletic rounds, but they still have good players, those key guys, but like, it's a big, their season kind of hangs in the balance. They play Galway on Sunday in Celtic Park, and it's,
yeah,
I'm just, there's glimpses of Derry still having something, like we said with the Dubs a couple of weeks ago, a sting in the tail. I've seen bits of it from the highlights of the game on Saturday night, but they're in a tough position. We said, are they the team that they were in the spring of 2023? No chance. They're falling way off that. But with Armagh, we're talking about all the other teams having their flaws, and Donegal maybe taking a step back from being favourites. We all are. Galway maybe taking a step back after their performance at Salt Hill. Armagh, talk about a bounce back from the Ulster final. That heartbreak, that was efficient. Efficient from them. And the key thing I like with Armagh, they've changed. No, Turbot's only coming in off the bench. You know,
1-2.
But it's not, Turbot's not injured. They're just not picking him. That's that. If you're going to defend, you need to have, we used to always say, have three or four new faces in the starting 15.
Well,
Dave, what is?
Hey.
But that, and that's the ability to do that.
Yeah.
That quashes the kind of, oh, we're going to take it easy, we're the All-Ireland champions. There's a bit of a hangover from this. They're showing, like, newer guys coming in, they're as hungry as ever. You know, when Armagh just seem to be kicking into gear, it's a hard group. What a game we have on Sunday in Croke Park. We get to that in the member show, Armagh Dublin. But for Saturday night, that was, you talk about the winners of the provincial championships having a bit of a hangover. Armagh lost it in heartbreaking style in extra time to Donegal, but that was the perfect bounce back. Derry, just still not sure, but there's a little bit of quality still there, but it's just the team as a whole, that spark and that energy just doesn't seem to be there for them.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the team here from the weekend. I can't completely remember the team from the All-Ireland final, but Rafferty didn't start the All-Ireland final, obviously. Ross McQuillan didn't start the All-Ireland final. Jarley Oag didn't start.
He's having a
Jason
hell of
Duffy
a championship. He's
yeah.
12 from 10.
Darren McMullen didn't start.
Who else?
Tiernan Kelly didn't start.
Peter McGrain was dropped for the All-Ireland final.
Was he dropped for the final?
Every other game. Yeah.
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And these are just kind
Kelly
of
would have started.
Starting on merit. It's not like they're coming in for fellas who are suspended or injured. Like, he's genuinely said, no, this is improving us. So it is an unbelievable show of strength of that panel.
But that gives it's brilliant for them because they're obviously training their socks off and getting the rewards for it. But it also is a massive kick in the hole for guys who are in the team and going, it's not injuries or we're not trying to time it. They're playing better than you. So you need to go away and deal with that. And Armagh seemed to have that. McGeady's there a long time. The culture in that team, that's a sense of, you would imagine those players going, fuck. Not throwing their toys out of the crowd, but going, like, train like demons to get back into the team. That is a brilliant place for a team to be. Watch this space. I'll be in there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, we will be talking about that game in depth, I'm sure, on Wednesday on the Members Pod, as Paddy mentioned, and also next weekend or next Monday when we do the pod. So this weekend, lads, we've got a full round of Tailteann and Cup fixtures in round 3, where everything's going to be decided there. We've got Cork and Kerry in group 2, We have got Down against Louth and Park Essler in Group 3. We've got Roscommon against Meath in Group 2. Meath's win has obviously put them in an unbelievable position now.
Yep.
But can the Rossies turn them over in the Hyde and make that group really interesting going on to the end? So that game, that group can still be decided on scoring difference, who goes through. But Meath have put themselves in an unbelievable position. And then Tyrone against Mayo, as we mentioned, that evening. Like, Mayo were up against already after losing the Cavan. Now Tyrone have an opportunity to double down at home in front of their crowd. So we'll see what happens there. As we mentioned, they also have their All-Ireland under 20 final on Wednesday. On Sunday then, Cavan against Donegal, Derry against Galway, both 2 p.m. throw-ins. Dublin against Armagh and Monaghan against Clare, the 2 4 p.m. throw-ins in the All-Ireland series. Fellas, I think we'll leave this week's football pod, our Monday pod, there.
Do you have a romantic dinner to get to, Tom?
I do. There's pizza.
Is Ronaldo there? Is he in Madeira? The season's over. Is he powering around?
I don't know. I was trying to keep an eye out. Apparently, he's the only person who's allowed to build a house beside the marina. He's got like an 8 million euro mansion beside the marina in Funchal. So
is his statue
keep
over
an eye out and see it earlier on. Apparently, the statue isn't good.
The statue is disgraceful. Did you see it?
But did they not get it redone?
No, I didn't see it.
Looks like it looks like it melted in the van on the way over. It's shocking.
I'll go looking for it.
We want photos of that. And here, before we finish, we must, and best wishes to Kevin McStay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And his family. Yeah. Jesus.
No, scary stuff.
More important things. So hopefully he's recovering. Sounds good. In fact, he's doing a statement. Touch wood.
Yes.
He's on the bed.
Yeah, no. I think it was obviously a real shock on Saturday evening, but I think, you know, hopefully the word is that he'll begin his improvements from here out. Lads.
Please, Kev.
We'll leave it there. Thanks very much for hopping on this Monday. Thanks everybody for tuning in. The Football Championship keeps delivering it, and we'll see you this weekend too, because we have a massive weekend to preview on our member show on Wednesday. We'll talk to you then. Thanks, lads.
See you, boys.
Thanks, lads.